So again, we open our scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6, focusing on verse 6. Jeremiah 33, 14 to 16, focusing on verse 16. And we're also going again to turn to the book of Romans and look at a number of passages there, so I encourage you to have that ready as well. Studying another name of God today, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. Hear now the word of God from the Lord who is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6 to begin with. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And that last part, this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now we look ahead to chapter 33. We'll come back. They're very similar, but we'll come back to the first one in a moment. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. Just look at these two places where it comes. Chapter 33 of Jeremiah, verses 14 to 16. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. So again, that's the name we're focusing on again. The Lord our righteousness. Our theme series, we're going through the names of God for a time. And this morning we studied Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. It's important that the Lord is our righteousness. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 10. None. Not you, not me. No one. No one is righteous. No, not one. So what is the answer to that predicament? The Lord must be our righteousness. That is how we will be saved for our unrighteousness. There is none righteous, Paul says, no, not one. Isaiah 64, verse 6 reads, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. This is a very humbling thing for anyone that may think they're good enough, they are some kind of a righteous person in their own deeds, by their own laws. Remember that in the Hebrew, the words for filthy rags is more literally menstruation garments. So a man's righteousness belongs only in a soiled linen can to be taken out and disposed of, as will all of us in our unrighteousnesses should we approach God on Judgment Day on our own. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, menstruation garments. This gives us an idea of where all who do not have God's righteousness will dwell after death. Righteousness means doing all things right, doing all things good, according to God's righteous word. But again, Romans tells us none of us are righteous. None of us do what God says. No one perfectly, and yet only perfect life with God's law is righteous and is rewarded with heaven. Without a perfect righteousness by God's law reflecting him, no one will see paradise. We need God's righteousness. And so, Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, bringing much judgment, bringing much discipline upon Israel and upon Judah, God uses him, as with the other major prophets and all the prophets, to chastise and bring discipline for their unrighteousness. And yet, just as we saw with Ezekiel, he doesn't abandon them. He straightens them out. He gets them on the straight and narrow, and he provides what they need with himself. God provides salvation from the consequences of sin to his people through his son's righteousness. That's the idea of these two texts in Jeremiah. God provides salvation to his people. How? Through his son's righteousness. He paid for our righteousness on the cross. That was his passive obedience, paying the penalty due for our unrighteous sins. But we need more than that to go to heaven. That's just like cleaning a blank slate in a way. We need righteousness. We have to be righteous. We have to have holy merit according to God's law to be allowed the reward of heaven, and we can't do it. So God did not only provide payment for our unrighteousness through Christ, he provided us with his righteousness by living a perfect life on our behalf. And so we see his days. Jeremiah 23, verse 3. In his days, Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely. How? In his days. How shall we be saved? In his days. Verse 5 in chapter 23, verse 15 in chapter 33 helps us understand who this is that's saving the church. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Notice the capitalization. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Notice he's going to bring justice. He's going to bring righteousness. And this is what brings us salvation, his righteousness, his justice. And who is he? He's Jesus Christ that's being spoken of right here. The branch of David. So many times through the Psalms, you'll see us singing that idea of the Son of David is the one that brings us God's salvation. So they cried out to him, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, quoting the Psalms. If you look at Jeremiah 33, verse 15, we see the same understanding of who is this that's bringing us in his days. In his days, who is it that is bringing the church her salvation by his righteousness? Back to Jeremiah 33, and let's look at verse 16. Verses 14 and 15. The days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah in those days, and at the time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Again, the branch of David. And what is he going to do? He's going to bring righteousness. So he said in the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law so that you're free to live it more and more. Because guess what? In heaven, we're going to be righteous. And what that means is we'll be living God's law perfectly. And so he came to do that, to live God's law perfectly. He came to bring us righteousness in himself. He would sit on his father's throne, Luke 1, verse 69, anticipating his coming. Zechariah proclaims that God is preparing, he's getting ready with John the Baptist to say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that Lord is Jesus Christ, the Son of David. He's come to sit on David's throne. Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel says, you'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And again, here in Jeremiah, a much needed verse to know that God will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How will he get it done? By giving us his righteousness, or we will be lost forever. I consider what I think I've shared with you recently. Again, it always comes to mind with this thinking of Christ's imputed righteousness to us. I believe it was J. Gresham Machen, the well-known Presbyterian professor at Westminster, First Princeton, who wrote, I believe it was John Murray, another professor, when he was traveling in the Midwest and ended up on his deathbed, as he anticipated the end of his life, he said in a telegram, I believe, "I am so thankful for the imputed righteousness of Christ." It's important to recognize something that is challenged, sadly, in Reformed circles sometimes, so it bears repeating. I saw it even in Presbytery, someone disciplined and dealt with over this, the idea of Christ giving imputed righteousness from his active obedience from the law is not something they think they see in scriptures, but you see here in Jeremiah, it's the means of salvation. We need not only the payment of our sins for our unrighteousness, we need Christ's righteousness. That is, we need God's righteousness given to us through his Son, living a righteous life on our behalf to make us righteous by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous. The people need God's righteousness to be saved, and it only comes to them through his Son, the Son of David. And the Hebrew for the root word of righteousness could be translated stiff or straight. It's just, you know, there's one way. It's God's way. Any deviation from that is what we call sin in the scriptures, the transgression of his law. Sin, the idea of missing the mark. It has to be perfect on the mark. And Jesus is the only one who does that for us. Jesus is the way, who gets you through the straight gate on the narrow way that leads unto life. And yes, there are few that follow it, because there are few that follow Christ. That is, there are few that receive his righteousness instead of foolishly holding up their own before God. The only way that you can live with the righteous God forever in eternity is to receive his righteousness by the hands of his Son. And here I'd like to take you to the book of Romans to see how much this idea comes through with Paul, how significant it is to the gospel and salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 to begin with. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Having just quoted Habakkuk 2:4 and verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Actually, I'd like to start with verse 16. That's what I had intended earlier. Verses 16 through 18. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So you see the contrast between God's righteousness and our unrighteousness. He alone is righteous, and the way that God saves us through Christ is giving us his righteousness, his making us righteous by being our righteousness for us. It's tremendous. Turn to chapter 3. Remember in verse 10 of chapter 3, we are reminded that none is righteous. No man is righteous. No one is righteous. And Paul's developing this case in the first few chapters of Romans that no one is righteous. Everyone breaks God's law. We are all doomed. We are all unrighteous. And the reason he's developing this again is that we would embrace the gospel, embrace God's righteousness through Christ for ourselves, that we would not try to proclaim our righteousness by works, but we would receive the work of Christ finished for us to give us his righteousness. And so we come to verse 20 in Romans 3, and we read through verse 26. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, as we read in Jeremiah. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice I declare at this time it's come in Christ. Behold, in that day, Jeremiah says, when the branch comes, it's in this time the branch of David has come. In this time, Jesus Christ has come, the Son of David, and he brings righteousness to us. Notice also how often the word justification comes up. To be made righteous, to have God's righteousness, is to be justified, just as if I never sinned. But more than that, just as I've lived perfectly. God's righteousness given to us reflects Christ's perfect righteous life lived on the behalf of his elect. Turn to Romans chapter 10. A little more to be said about this. Romans 10, I'll read the first 13 verses of Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see the same connection of salvation with the righteousness of God as we have in our text today. I turn back there to read for you again, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jidkanyanu, the Lord our righteousness. Now you recognize this is a name of Christ. This is a name of God indeed, but it's a name particularly of the Son of God revealed to us. We see that it is he the text is speaking about. So there's an overlap here with the names of Christ. Have you called upon Jesus to be your righteousness? You have two options. You can approach God with your filthy unrighteousnesses. Or you can approach God with the perfect, righteous life of Christ. Have you called upon Jesus to save you from your sins by being your righteousness? Have you exchanged your filthy rags for his righteous robe? If so, then your future is bright. 2 Peter 3, verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where we're headed, Christians, a place of perfect righteousness. How can it be that we'll ever be there? Because of Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. He gives us his righteousness. Try to imagine living in a new heaven and a new earth with spiritual bodies able to work with our resurrected souls perfectly righteous. Try to imagine a world where you and I obey God's law straight, stiff, constantly loving him with our whole heart, constantly loving our neighbor as ourself, and never veering off that straight and narrow way. Try to imagine how amazingly wonderful it will be. And in that process and experience of living, we can be in God's immediate presence again, because the Lord, our righteousness, has given us his righteousness, and then will resurrect us to be able to live perfectly righteous. The new heavens and the new earth, emphasized by Peter, the glory of it will be, that's where righteousness will dwell. And in particular, not so much us, but God himself, who is our righteousness. As he dwelt in the midst of the tabernacle, in the temple, will come down from heaven and will dwell in our midst, and we will know him as he knows us, and we will see him not dimly, but face to face. Because the Lord, our righteousness, has given us his righteousness through Christ's perfect life, imputed to us and credited to us by faith as the faith of Father Abraham. And it'll be glorious days. Let that reminder further heal you. Malachi 4, verse 2, as we read last week, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You see, Jehovah Rapha is also Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord who heals you with his righteousness. The Lord heals you being your Lord who is righteousness. Beloved, the branch of David has come, and he has brought you God's righteousness. rejoice. And live righteous lives. We know that none of us are perfect, but may it be said, as people observe us, as it's observed and commented on a few, like Noah, he was a righteous man. Yes, because God is our righteousness, but his righteousness would be observed in our own behavior. And rejoice that through faith in Jesus Christ, the branch of David, the Lord, your righteousness, God has made you righteous. We considered when one of the psalms we sang, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. And that should be a phrase we learn to speak all the time. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He doesn't do anything wrong. And another thing we need to remember regularly, God is my righteousness. Thank God he's our righteousness. Or how could we be here approaching his throne of glory right now? How could we even endeavor to try to live more righteously? How could we face our deaths and anticipate judgment day? If not for the Lord, our righteousness. Beloved, have that in view. One day, as you stand at the resurrection, as God's sheep, I trust, being brought to his right hand, you will see him. And among other names, you will look at him and say, the Lord, our righteousness. And you will enter in because of his righteousness that he graciously gave you faith to receive as your own. How sad for those who will be turned away as goats, because God never was their righteousness. And their filthy rags will be disposed of. But you can rejoice, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, that God has made you righteous. Beloved, you and I need to keep thinking about that as we'll think about being sanctified tonight, continuing to be sanctified, because that will change the way you think about yourself, and that will change the way you live. When you remember, God has made you righteous. And that's the message for you this morning. God has made you righteous. Notice the past tense. You are justified because the Lord, your righteousness, has made you righteous. Let's thank him. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, our righteousness, Jesus Christ, branch of David. We thank you that you came and lived a perfect life on our behalf. Oh, Lord, we are so convicted so often of how unrighteous we are and how filthy indeed our righteousnesses are. And we are paralyzed. Oh, Lord, free us up. Heal us. By reminding us, you have made us righteous. We thank you for your blood, O Lord. But we thank you also for your perfect obedience, for your living the law on our behalf. You were made under a law not only to take the curse of the law on our behalf, but to live that law on our behalf. And we thank you for doing so perfectly. You are the Son of Righteousness who gives us healing in your wings. Let us rise up in that healing, bask in you, our righteousness, and help us to be more righteous. May it indeed be said of us, he was a righteous man. She was a righteous woman. He was a righteous boy. She was a righteous girl. And that they would understand, not in and of ourselves, but as reflecting the righteousness of God in us by God who is with us, Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close this year and we consider how we have been so unrighteous toward you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone, by how we have transgressed your holy law, how we have missed the mark. Sins of ignorance, sins of presumption. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And have mercy to remind us, fear not, for you are our righteousness. Let that lift us up, O Lord, to do good works that are pleasing in your sight. We love you, O Lord, our shepherd. And we thank you for making us righteous, and we pray you lead us on the straight gate, through it in the narrow way, and keep us on that way, following you, who are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, as we depart until we gather again for the evening worship service, bless us to consider your righteousness as our own, and bless us to consider how to live more righteously for your name's sake. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us your righteousness. We pray in your holy name, in the name of Jesus who has saved us from our sins. And all your people said, Amen.